Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're following breaking news of a newly lifted lockdown at a high school in Cary. The new update from authorities on the weapon found that led to the lockdown this morning.
Plus, WRAL has identified the NC State student found dead near a lake. The death is now being investigated as an apparent suicide.
And we will see scattered showers today. It all comes ahead of another WRAL weather alert day for the next 24 hours.
And that is where we kick off our news this noon. You're looking live right now at the wet conditions for your lunch hour. Don't put away the umbrella just yet. There is more rain on the way. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. We are in for more scattered showers throughout the day. Tomorrow will be rough. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has more on the changes that we're seeing with tomorrow's WRAL Weather Alert Day.
So right now we have just a few isolated showers that are showing up on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. It's the same thing that we've been seeing all morning. In some places it's been a little heavier, in some places it's been lighter, but you can see the coverage looks like it's fairly sparse. And where we are seeing rain falling, it is falling lightly. So from Durham over toward Wake Forest, up around Falls Lake, and back over toward Rocky Mount, we're seeing a few isolated showers. And down here around Wilson, a few light showers, and then up around Enfield and for parts of Halifax County. So not a lot of rain out there right now. We'll take a look at futurecast for the remainder of the day. First of all, a look at Chapel Hill, where it is damp out there, but people are not walking around with their raincoats or umbrellas. So definitely a little bit of a break in the action right now. Here's a look at futurecast starting now. Again, just a few isolated showers. There are going to be some more waves of rain that move through. So from time to time, there'll be more coverage and then less coverage as we head through the evening. But we see heavy rain that develops overnight tonight. Notice right here at midnight. And this is going to be the beginning, of course, of Friday. This is Friday at 3 a.m. And Friday is a WRAL weather alert day. We could see some heavy rain Friday morning. And, of course, we do have a level one risk for severe storms. Our best chance of storms are likely to be late on Friday. We'll have the potential for some damaging winds, some heavy rain, some small hail. So let's pick it up Friday morning at about 4:45, 5 o'clock. A lot of the overnight rain will have moved up into Virginia, but again, we could see an inch to an inch and a half. A little scattered light rain for most of the morning commute, and then we're going to see a break in the precipitation. We may even see a few holes in the clouds. If we do, that sunshine will help to energize the atmosphere, destabilize it, and give us a better chance for storms. Right here at 8 o'clock, you can see a cluster of thunderstorms. This is where we would have a good chance for some severe storms, potentially, and then that threat is over right around midnight. So we're looking at our best chance for severe storms definitely during the evening hours. It is a level one risk for severe storms. And again, damaging winds and small hail are potentially an issue. I'm still watching Sunday as well. Looks like Sunday's timeline for showers and thunderstorms has moved up as compared to yesterday. So I'll show you the timeline for that coming up.
That level one severe risk for tomorrow means you need to be weather aware. Stay connected with the free WRAL Severe Weather app. Download it now to get important alerts right to your phone.
Now to breaking news we're following. In the last 30 minutes, we received a lot of new information about the lockdown at Middle Creek High School. Here's the latest. Administrators say a student was detained after police found either an airsoft or BB gun on campus. We're working to clarify which. The code red lockdown was lifted around 11 a.m. All students are safe. No one was hurt. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live at the school as parents rush to that campus after hearing from their kids about this lockdown. Shelley, we've seen this many times before.
Well, that's right. The lockdowns were lifted just about 10 minutes ago, and parents were reunited with their children. There's still a few out here lingering. There were about 100 parents, at least, when I showed up on scene about an hour ago. One father told me he rushed to the school when his son texted and said they were hiding under their desk after reports of an active shooter on campus. All of this started around 10 o'clock this morning. The SRO here at Middle Creek High School heard rumors. We don't know how he heard about this information at this time, of a student on campus with a gun. He reached out to the SRO at a nearby middle school. And Cary police say those two SRO officers were on scene within seconds. Now, when we spoke to Cary police about half an hour ago, they said they did two searches. The initial search, no gun, and they did another search, and they used canines, and they did not find a gun on that one either. Take a listen to what he said.
Well, at this point, all of this was sparked by what we believe to be a rumor sparked by panic. And the nature of things is where we are today. At no point was anyone hurt. At no point was a weapon found. Some of the reports we got were an active shooter type situation. Those reports were false.
Now, since we spoke to that sergeant, we have seen on this district's website that they said there was an airsoft gun. We are working to figure out, find out and confirm that and see if that is true. Now, the officer also said that they interviewed the student. He did not have a gun on him, and he was very cooperative. Actually, he did not say it was a he. They hadn't confirmed that yet, and that there was no confrontation, and again, no one was hurt. So right now, a lot of parents have picked up their kids. They're taking them home for the day. And there's a lot of concern about returning to school tomorrow. Back to you.
Certainly, naturally, right there. Shelly Jackson providing a lot of details there live in Cary at Middle Creek High School. Thank you.
More breaking news. NC State has confirmed the 11th student death this school year. And within the last 2 hours, WRAL has learned the identity of the student found dead near a lake. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live from NC State Centennial Campus. And Chelsea, more heartache for the NC State community as we've learned the student died by suicide.
Absolutely. Another tragedy, Renee. And it was here in this area near Lake Raleigh where that student was found dead by apparent suicide around 10 p.m. last night. We should mention this is the sixth NC State student to die by suicide so far this year. I learned much more about him today. A junior and an air rifle athlete from Florida. Take a look at your screen. This is Ben Salas, that junior at NC State. He was studying in the College of Arts and Humanities. Last night, NC State police said they got a call about an apparent threat around 6 p.m. that Salas was planning to hurt himself. NC State, Raleigh police, they were searching this area last night, even deploying drones near Lake Raleigh and the woods where they found him dead with an apparent gunshot wound around 10 p.m. NC State's police chief saying that he had a rifle by his side. We should make mention and make this clear. It was not his NC State issued rifle. He is on the air rifle team. NC State confirmed that he was an athlete competing several times in the NCAA Rifle Championships. Take a listen to the police chief from this morning.
As a department, we'd like to, offer condolences to, of course, the family, and to everybody that was affected or knew this student or anything about it. Again, right now it's been a tough time for NC State because we've had several of these. So. It's hard on everybody involved, students, faculty, staff, family, everybody, and including members of our police department.
NC State says they're going to have mental health counseling, drop-in counseling across campus today. Many of these counselors positioned at the College of Arts and Humanities that Salas was a part of. We'll have much more on this in our later newscasts.
Our hearts go out to those who knew and loved him. Chelsea Donovan reporting live at NC State's Centennial Campus.
And I'm Brian Schrader with a traffic alert here for you. This is over on 95 northbound, leaving Rocky Mount, heading up toward Enfield and Roanoke Rapids. An earlier crash that for a while closed all lanes of 95 northbound. In the past couple of minutes, we've learned that all lanes now are open, but you're still seeing a little bit of a delay as you head away from Rocky Mount up toward the Enfield area. As soon as you get through the 481 interchange, you're in good shape heading up to Roanoke Rapids. But here for the next few minutes, if you're especially on the northern side of Nash County and Edgecombe County, you might use Highway 301 to Enfield as a good alternate route to avoid those lingering delays on 95.
Brian, thanks. The Panthers will kick off the NFL draft tonight in Kansas City with the number one overall pick. Everything points to former Alabama quarterback Bryce Young being that pick. At 7 tonight, we'll have team coverage from Kansas City, Charlotte, and here in the Triangle. The draft starts at 8 p.m. on ESPN. You can catch coverage on Fox 50 at 10 and WRAL at 11.
Same system that triggered a WRAL weather alert day here in the Triangle has already been hitting hard in the Deep South. That is just incredible. Look at this. Watch what comes into the picture in the background right there. Cal running for cover there. And the splashes from that hail being made in that pool. Amazing right there. This is in Texas. Severe storms in part of the state threaten more than 40 million people across the South. Meanwhile, parts of Florida, including Orlando, experienced hailstones big enough to damage cars in Palm Bay. The storms bring the biggest threat of flash flooding along the Gulf Coast from Florida's Panhandle to West Louisiana.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some sad news to report this afternoon. Longtime TV host Jerry Springer has died. He was 79 years old. His publicist said he passed away in Chicago peacefully. The cause of Springer's death was not made immediately clear. The Jerry Springer Show ran from 1991 to 2018. A friend and spokesman for the family said in a statement, Jerry's ability to connect with people was at the heart of his success in everything he tried, whether it be politics, broadcasting, or simply joking with people on the streets.
We all remember the Jerry Springer Show, and it was a ratings bonanza. New at noon, the U.S. economy is losing steam. The government released our nation's gross domestic report for the first quarter. WREL's Ken Smith is here now with what this means for our finances moving forward. Ken.
You know, Renee, what this means for many of us, according to many economists, is we will have to start watching our spending. Gross domestic products show the economy grew at a rate of 1.1%, much slower than what experts were predicting at 2%. Now, the gross domestic product measures all goods and services produced, like gas, food, furniture, you name it. Here's what one economist pointed out that makes this report concerning. People were still spending, even despite higher prices, even despite higher inflation. This all means, according to most economists, we've been listening to this today, that the economy eventually could tip into a recession. The only question is when that could happen. The GDP report is a major focus of the Federal Reserve when it comes to making decisions about future interest rate hikes. Financial observers believe the Feds will likely bump up interest rates again to try to cool the inflation. Not sure how much, though. The Federal Reserve meeting is set for May 2nd and 3rd. Renee?
We'll be watching for that. Ken, thanks for that update. Investors are digesting that piece of economic news that Ken just reported on. They are also pleased to see some strong corporate earnings reports, and that's why the Dow is up 300 points at this hour, S&P 500 advancing 50 points, and NASDAQ also in the green, up more than 200 points. We'll keep tracking these numbers for you.
Today's a chance to give feedback on the VinFast project in Chatham County. There's a community listening session tonight at 6 at the Moncure School. County and state staff will answer questions and provide information about where this project stands. They'll also give updates to questions they have gotten from people at previous meetings. Last week, VinFast CEO committed to starting production on its electric car manufacturing plant in 2025. The factory is expected to produce 150,000 vehicles a year.
Next on our newscast, an FBI breakdown of active shootings, the disturbing data on how many people were killed and the type of weapons used.
Also, the legal battle over AI art, the debate over who owns the copyright for images created by artificial intelligence.
Plus, widespread flooding in the heartland. At 12:30, the effort to protect millions along the Mississippi River. Active shooters last year killed or injured more than 300 people, the most in 5 years.
Now that's according to a new FBI report that also reveals, among other things, disturbing data about what weapons shooters used. Brian Todd looks at the new numbers.
A horrific mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, kills 19 students and two teachers, 17 others wounded. A racist gunman kills 10 people, all of them black, and injures three others at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Shootings that contributed to a grotesque new finding from the FBI. A new report from the Bureau saying the number of casualties from active shooter situations in the U.S. was the highest in 2022 than it had been in 5 years.
It's something that we've struggled with now for years. We've seen an increase in these sorts of attacks over the last decade or more.
The new FBI report says the casualties, dead and wounded combined, reached 313 from active shooter incidents last year. 100 killed, 213 wounded. In 2021, the FBI says 103 people were killed in active shooter incidents, 140 wounded, for a total of 243 casualties. The incident with the single highest total casualty count in 2022 didn't have the most deaths, but had a large number of wounded. The 4th of July parade shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, where a gunman killed seven and wounded 48 others.
The Highland Park incident is one of these worst case scenarios when you're talking about an active shooter attack, because you've got someone firing from an elevated position into a big crowd.
And those shootings last year were not dominated by AR-15s or other rifles. The FBI report says of the 61 total firearms used by active shooters, 29 were handguns, 26 were rifles, 3 were shotguns, and 3 firearms classified as unknown. The report comes as the states seem to be going in different directions with their gun laws. Yesterday, Washington State tightened its laws, banning the sale of most assault-style weapons, enacting a 10-day waiting period, and training requirements for all gun purchases.
These weapons of war, of assault weapons, have no reason other than mass murder.
While the governor of Nebraska just signed a law allowing residents who are at least 21 years old to carry a handgun without a permit. Experts agree there's no clear solution, but CNN analyst John Miller says studying the psychology of the active shooter is critical.
There's a connection numerically with domestic violence. There's also something called leakage, which is in a very high percentage, 85 to 95% of active shooters, you find them either telling people directly what they're going to do before it happens or giving broad hints that could have been identified if people reported it.
The FBI's report also says of the 50 shooters who carried out active shooter attacks in 2022, 47 were male. The Bureau also says 3 shooters from those incidents that year are still on the loose.
You saw it behind Jeff there. Our Thursday is turning out to be gray and dreary. We do have showers moving through the area right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking that rain.
And today it's just going to be patchy and light. We take a wide view of the dual Doppler 5000 radar. We started with this really late yesterday. And we've continued with this same pattern of gray skies, cool temperatures, and just some patchy light rain out there. We'll zoom in again right here in Wake County. You can see from Durham to Wake Forest, around Falls Lake, and back over towards, say, the southern portion of Nash County, back down toward Wilson County. We're seeing some isolated showers. A little rain that just passed through Goldsboro, but Wilson County seeing a little bit of patchy rain right now. But it's light. None of this is heavy out there. We'll take a look at Futurecast, and you can see another wave begins to build a little bit, say between 2 and 4 o'clock. There are probably going to be some drizzly conditions during the evening commute. That's 5 o'clock. And then finally, we're going to start to see some heavier rain that approaches close to midnight. There's 11 p.m., and that rain will start to become steady to heavy. And that will continue into the early part of tomorrow morning. And that's going to be the heaviest rain that we end up seeing out of this whole system. This is a look at what's happening right now. We have our warm front that's lifting northward close to the cold front. We have a severe thunderstorm warning down here near Florida, Alabama, Georgia, starting to see all that lifting northward. We've had a few scattered thunderstorms that were severe down in the deep south. And of course, we'll have that potential for tomorrow. Our best chance of any severe storms are going to be during the evening tomorrow as the cold front comes through. So damaging winds, small hail, a possibility. Let's kick things off again Friday morning. You can see we continue to have the rainy conditions, but a lot of that is lifting northward. The heaviest rain pushing on into Virginia as we get into the heaviest part of the morning commute. So just some scattered showers, scattered light rain. The morning commute tomorrow may feel a lot like it did this morning. Here at lunchtime, there could be a stray shower, but notice the holes in the clouds. When we see those holes in the clouds, we add some energy to the atmosphere with the sun, and that will help to destabilize the atmosphere. And when the cold front comes through, we'll have some scattered storms. And you can see that developing around 7, 8 o'clock and continuing until around midnight. After that, everything clears on out and we'll end up with dry conditions on Saturday. Here is a look at Wilson. Wilson's had a shower just come through. It looks like it's actually still raining there right now. Just some very light wind. Our temperature is 60 degrees and we're going to keep it in the mid-60s for highs this afternoon. 65 in Raleigh, 64 in Durham, and 69 in Fayetteville. So it stays cloudy, drizzly, and cool for the remainder of the day today. The Dogwood Festival is this weekend, a big deal for Cumberland County, and a lot of folks across the whole viewing area attend. The biggest concern is going to be Friday's music. There'll be evening music on Friday, and that's when we could have some severe thunderstorms. Right now, Saturday looks fine, not just for Fayetteville, but for the entire viewing area. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds, and Saturday looks dry. If you have outdoor plans, it looks fine. Then Sunday, rain is likely with some scattered storms in the afternoon. So any festivals or outdoor plans on Sunday, you definitely want to keep checking back for the timeline. Once we get into tomorrow, we'll be able to see our first runs of the high-resolution models for Sunday, and that'll give us a much clearer picture of the timeline for the storms on Sunday. But right now, it looks like it would be early to mid-afternoon. After that, we do dry out a little bit next week. This will be the 8th weekend in a row with rain.
Elizabeth, thanks. Fire officials in Rocky Mount are calling for a raise for their departments. Today at 4, we'll hear from the former fire chief and why he says the current pay disparity between fire and police is reckless.
Then at 5, professors at UNC could lose their academic tenure. Monica Casey explains the repercussions this could have if a new bill moves forward. But still ahead this noon hour, a battle is brewing over art generated by artificial intelligence. Who is the rightful and legal owner when that art in question is made by a computer system?
And WREL takes you to Kansas City, where the NFL's next crop of stars prepares for draft day. More on the special spot the Carolina Panthers hold this year coming up.
Gray skies over Clayton, but bustling downtown. Good afternoon to you as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. It's common practice that a person who writes a song or a story, takes a picture, or makes any type of art, they own the right to their creations.
But what if a person instructs an artificial intelligence program to create an image? Who technically owns the picture? Marian Rafferty takes a look at the ongoing legal debate over copyrighted AI art.
Artificial intelligence is proving to be uncharted territory. People can enter prompts for text and images into programs like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and more, with the software quickly generating a variety of sentences or pictures to match.
Central Park, New York.
Chris Castanova, who uses they-them pronouns, created a graphic novel with images made with artificial intelligence. But while they received a copyright for their book, the U.S. Copyright Office then revoked its decision, stating Castanova's artwork was, quote, not the product of human authorship.
What they said in the letter is that as a comic book in the whole, the arrangement and my story, because I wrote myself, those things are copyrighted, but every single image by itself aren't.
It's now sparking debate over who owns the rights to AI artwork.
The U.S. Copyright Office is holding the line that creative works need to be created by humans.
Meantime, Castanova is now using a new AI software called Stable Diffusion. The program lets them scan their own drawings or pictures that they can then alter using AI. By starting with original artwork, Castanova hopes it will be enough for them to get another copyright.
If artists or large companies wind up with copyrights for AI art in the future, legal experts say they could easily profit from the images these programs rapidly produce.
Where's the beef? Soon it will be at your neighborhood supermarket inside a can. Wendy's is going to sell cans of its well-known chili at grocery stores. Like the restaurant version, the recipe is beef, peppers, and beans in a tomato-based sauce. The chili will sell for about $5 a can and should be on store shelves by summertime. Wendy's chili has been on the restaurant menu since 1969. Fayetteville's Dogwood Festival kicks off tonight. After the break, we have a preview of what to expect from this weekend's events and entertainment.
Plus, a new campaign looking to encourage men to seek mental help and at the same time improve life expectancy for American males. Before we go to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
As we start this half hour of WRL News, we want to check back in on the breaking news from Middle Creek High School. One student has been detained there after an airsoft gun was found.
The lockdown there has been lifted, and we're glad to report everyone is safe. WRL's Shelley Jackson is live now at Middle Creek High School, where many parents rush to the school to check on their children. Shelley.
Well, those parents are very relieved now, as are their students, and some of them are still lingering out here. There's also a police presence, and we're told the police will be on campus not only for the rest of the day, but the next few days at the least. Now, This all happened around 10 o'clock this morning. The school says that another student reported that they had seen a student in possession of a firearm in the school bathroom. They called 911 and instituted that code red lockdown. The police came out. There were already two SRO officers on scene within seconds of the initial call. Now, law enforcement says that they did detain the student suspected of potentially having a firearm. An airsoft firearm was reportedly found. Now, I was able to talk to a couple of students who left the school after the lockdown, and this is what they had to say.
It was a scary situation because, I mean, like, from where I was in the school, if anything was to happen, I wouldn't have been able to hear anything. We were in a locker room, like, far away from, like, the rest of the school, so I really wouldn't have known anything. And just seeing everybody's faces and just not knowing what was going to happen next was just scary.
Now, I also spoke with that student's mom, and she said she's considering homeschooling because this is just getting out of hand and out of control. Right now, no one was hurt, and we are still kind of developing some of the details out here, and we'll keep you updated on that. Back to you.
Michelle Jackson, live in Cary right now with reaction to that event at Middle Creek High School. Thanks.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Biden administration this afternoon announced that the U.S. will be setting up processing centers for migrants in Central and South America. The first centers will open in Guatemala and Colombia in the coming weeks. They're part of a strategy to drive down illegal migration across the U.S.-Mexico border and also to expand legal pathways into the U.S. The administration did say they will quickly remove any migrants that do not qualify to cross the border. Federal immigration officials and local shelter operators, they say they are worried for the influx of people that they're getting. They're reporting they could get as many as 10,000 people a day.
Michelle, thanks. Today, a group working to make Orange County schools safer will meet to discuss new ideas. The Orange County Schools Safety Task Force will meet at 5:30 this evening at the Davis Environmental and Agricultural Center in Hillsboro. The meeting is open to the public. The 18-member task force includes law enforcement, students, and representatives from the county's two school systems. We'll get an update tonight in the effort to stop a huge wildfire burning in eastern North Carolina. Officials will hold a community meeting at 6 tonight in New Bern to give an update on the fire in the Croatan National Forest. The latest information reports the fire covers more than 32,000 acres. Firefighters have gotten it about 30% contained. Officials say they've gotten an abundance of public donations to help, and they don't have space to take any more.
Countdown is on. The NFL draft is just under 7.5 hours away, and the Carolina Panthers will be on the clock with the first overall pick. WREL's Gerald Owens is in Kansas City, where the next crop of NFL stars is getting ready to hear their names called.
That's CJ Stroud.
Fans continue to flock to Kansas City to be part of an NFL tradition and usher in another new crop of stars for America's favorite sport.
Lots of meeting people, lots of food. I wanted to try that Kansas City barbecue.
I'm grateful for all the discussion. And
when you're a number one draft choice in the NFL, you're in demand, even before you step on the field. It's part of the draft process every year, much like the inevitable comparisons to players before them.
Hearing people, you know, make comparisons between like me, Peyton, Andrew, was really cool because, I mean, all those dudes had really good success.
Often mentioned for Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is former NC State quarterback Russell Wilson.
To you, I know comparisons aren't fair, but your thoughts on that?
And, yeah.
You know, you guys about the same size, same build, everything.
Yeah, again, a lot of respect for Russell Wilson. That's someone that I grew up, you know, as I was older, he started, you know, be a prominent quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and someone that I've definitely taken a lot from and watched and studied and learned a lot from.
The comparisons will likely continue even after they're with their new teams.
Later tonight, the Carolina Panthers and their fans will know which direction this franchise will take over the next few years and beyond. In Kansas City, Gerald Owens, WREL News.
It is one of the biggest weekends of the year in downtown Fayetteville. The Dogwood Festival gets started tonight with its Cork and Fork food and wine event. The festival's official kickoff comes tomorrow night with music, carnival rides, and food vendors on the Midway. The festival will continue with two full days of fun on Saturday and Sunday, including a concert from the bands Buck Cherry and Lit on Saturday night and the ultimate Michael Jackson experience Sunday night.
Meantime, up next, we'll explain the move by some state lawmakers to prevent what they call indoctrination when it comes to state government workplaces, what they want to ban.
Plus, summer and live music are in perfect harmony. How one local city is hosting live concerts every week during the summer and which band is kicking it off.
Our county-by-county coverage this noon takes us to Chatham, Wilson, and Lee counties.
Chatham County is looking for a new member of its county Board of Health. Any current local adult is welcome to apply. The Board of Health plays a leadership role in guiding the direction of the Public Health Department. Applications must be received by Wednesday, May 31st at 5 p.m. You can go to chathamcountync.gov to learn more.
Happening tonight, you're invited to take a stroll with the Wilson County Senior Activity Center. The inclusive wellness walk will be ADA accessible. It takes place tonight at 6 p.m. at Greater Wilson Rotary Park. Registration opens at 5:30. The first 200 people to turn out will get a free T-shirt.
And taking you to Lee County now, the city of Sanford is looking forward to hosting its summer music series. These free concerts will take place on Thursdays at Depot Park from June through August. They'll start at 6:30 p.m. The first concert in the series kicks off June 1st with the Plank Road Band.
North Carolina lawmakers are considering a new bill banning critical race theory in the workplace. The Senate bill would ban so-called compelled speech in the hiring process. It also creates a list of beliefs that are off limits to be promoted in state government workplaces. Concepts some state lawmakers have previously equated to critical race theory. Republican sponsors say it's designed to prevent discrimination in hiring and protect new employees from indoctrination. Also at the State House, a total ban on COVID vaccine mandates cleared the State House. It would ban state and local governments to deny employment to someone who refuses to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The bill passed the House by a large margin with three Democrats and all present Republicans voting in favor and was sent to the Senate.
Today, a group working to make Orange County schools safer will meet to discuss new ideas. The Orange County School Safety Task Force will meet at 5:30 tonight at the Davis Environmental and Agricultural Center in Hillsboro. The meeting is open to the public. The 18-member task force includes law enforcement, students, and representatives from the county's two school systems. Still ahead, why the life expectancy of American men has declined and what steps are being taken to improve their lifespan.
Plus, a bill promoting marijuana research at the Veteran Affairs Department fails. Why critics say the failure can be blamed on party politics.
Studies show that men in this country are not living as long as women. They have higher rates of cancer, diabetes, suicide, and heart disease.
Dr. Akshay Sayal takes a look at a new and creative public health campaign designed to help men.
Picking up new hobbies, such as cooking, is another manly way to avoid depression and reduce stress.
This is man therapy.
First, mash up five or six of these green things.
A service created by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Grit Digital Health to help prevent suicide in men.
There's still a lot of stigma and barriers out there that prevent men from wanting to talk about how they're feeling, and it leaves a lot of them struggling in silence.
Dr. Jody Fry, a professor at the University of Maryland, is working with Man Therapy to help get the life-saving message out there.
Why is it that men are so afraid to seek help?
I think a lot of men feel embarrassed. You know, the term just pull yourself up by your bootstraps is still alive and well out there. And men often feel like seeking help is a sign of weakness.
I'm Dr. Rich Mahogany. Visit me at mantherapy.org.
The creators say nearly 3 million people have viewed the character Dr. Richard Mahogany in the Man Therapy website.
You can't fix your mental health with duct tape. Giving men the tools to help themselves, to let them know that help's available, is very comforting.
Men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than women. But a recent study funded by the CDC found that Man Therapy was able to decrease depression and suicidal thoughts in men.
Manly way.
But it's not just suicide. In 2021, the difference in life expectancy between men and women reached 5.9 years, the largest gap since 1996. This is because men are also more likely to die from COVID-19, diabetes, and cancer than women. Some of this could be a result of biology, but there's also some cultural bias.
Men are not seeking healthcare in a preventative way.
Dr. Haider Varaich is a cardiologist and a proponent in men's health at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
Men are seeking healthcare when they're coming, calling the emergency room or calling 911, and they're coming in for complications for disease.
His approach is simple. We need to rethink how we engage men in healthcare.
They're not looking to a doctor for health information. They might be looking to a podcast. They might be looking to a website. They might be looking to their church or their social group. And so we have to make sure that we engage with all of those partners.
Whether looking at medicine in a new way or visiting Dr. Mahogany at Man Therapy, it's time for men to take their health seriously.
That was Dr. Akshay Sial reporting, and you can visit WRL.com right now to find a county-by-county guide to mental health resources. Just search Get Help.
Veterans aren't going to learn if cannabis can help them with chronic pain or PTSD anytime soon. The U.S. Senate voted not to direct the Veteran Affairs Department to study it. Senator John Cornyn from Texas said that's because the study would use volunteers to discuss their experiences, so the results could be biased. Some critics say Republicans blocked it because they don't want a big win for Senator John Tester. He's the Democrat who chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee and is up for re-election. Well, rain keeps reappearing on the weekend. For the eighth week in a row, we've got rain chances in the forecast, Elizabeth.
Yep, I'm hoping we can change it next week. I went ahead and looked ahead at next weekend, and it doesn't look like a washout right now, but it does look like there could be a few isolated showers. It's way down the road, and we'll talk more about it as we get into early next week. But we are looking at a cloudy day today with a few isolated showers. It's a 60% chance. Of course, tomorrow is a WRL weather alert day. We're going to see some heavy rain tonight and very early Friday. Then we're going to see a big break in the rain and some thunderstorms during the evening hours that could produce the severe weather. Right now, Friday looks fantastic. We put a 20% chance on just to cover the bases. But right now, no matter where you are in the viewing area, we should see partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies on Saturday. And then Sunday, of course, we're looking at another round of thunderstorms, most likely during the afternoon. Some of that rain could start fairly early. Here's a look at our current dual Doppler 5000 radar. Notice we're starting to see a little more rain building back to the west along the I-85 corridor between, say, Greensboro and Charlotte. But right now, things are pretty light and patchy over us. We're seeing some showers in Wilson, back between Rollsville and Durham. We take a look at our WRL weather alert day for tomorrow. Again, some scattered rain during the morning commute, but the heaviest rain will actually be overnight tonight. And then the best chance of severe storms comes Friday evening. Level one risk for severe storms, damaging wind being the biggest threat. There could be some hail as well. Here's a look at where the storm system is right now. Lots and lots of lightning with this storm. We've seen some severe thunderstorms developing between the warm front and the cold front so far this morning and this afternoon. And you can see those orange boxes. That's where we have a severe thunderstorm watch right now. We do have rain between the warm front and where we are right now here in North Carolina. So we're going to continue to see that steady stream of rain moving in between now and the time the front moves through on Friday evening. Our severe weather threat, that level one risk, is for most of the viewing area. Everybody but up along the Virginia line. We'll take a look at the remainder of the afternoon. We'll just see some waves of scattered light rain. There's 9 p.m. At that point, we're starting to see some of that heavier rain that's back to the west. By midnight, that rain pushes in, and it's going to be heavy overnight between midnight and, say, 6 or 7 a.m. After that, it backs off to just a few isolated showers, sort of like what we saw during the morning commute this morning. And then from lunchtime till about 6 or 7 p.m., we're looking at just a dry period. By 7 o'clock, we start to see a few cells popping up across our area, and that's out of here by around 10 or 11. So between 6-ish and 10-ish is when we'll have the best chance of seeing severe thunderstorms that could produce some wind damage. Remember I said Saturday looks good? So Spring Days Festival in Cary on Saturday. No matter which part of the viewing area you're in, the weather should be fine Saturday. I think a lot of people will be outside, certainly. 66 at 9 a.m., at noon, 74, and at 5 o'clock, 76. So dry during the day on Saturday. But check out Sunday. This is 5 a.m. Already starting to see a little bit of rain in the early morning hours. Best chance of thunderstorms is likely to be from lunchtime into the afternoon and evening, and then all of that starts to move on out. And right now, Monday looks dry, but 90% chance on Friday and again on Sunday. So, yep, I think a lot of people will be out on Saturday. How much rain on Friday? Friday, we're likely to see anywhere from an inch to a half an inch, and then we add more rain on Sunday. We may add another inch to inch and a half, so there could be some 3-inch rainfall totals by the end of Sunday. We're watching for the potential for some isolated flooding on Sunday and, of course, scattered thunderstorms. And then after that, we dry things out.
Thanks, Elizabeth. The White House state dinner takes a fun turn as South Korea's leader takes the mic. Why President Joe Biden asked the president to belt out his favorite song, his rendition of American Pie, after the break. We wrap things up this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. All students are safe after a series of lockdowns at schools in Wake County. School leaders say a student at Middle Creek High School was found in possession of either an airsoft gun or BB gun. The high school and nearby Westlake Middle and Elementary schools were also on lockdown as authorities investigated. Afterwards, students were allowed to leave school and some parents came to pick up their kids.
Police have identified the NC State student whose body was found in the woods near Lake Raleigh last night. The death of Ben Salas is being investigated as a suicide. Salas was a junior in the College of Arts and Humanities and on the school's air rifle team. This is the 11th student death at NC State this school year.
And breaking news out of Louisiana this afternoon, Carolyn Bryant Donham, at the center of the 1955 kidnapping and lynching of Emmett Till, has died. Back in 1955, she accused Till of making improper advances. He was lynched in Mississippi in 1955. She died in Louisiana last night. She was 88 years old. Till's kidnapping and killing became a catalyst for the civil rights movement.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol certainly put on a show at the White House state dinner. Last night, President Joe Biden asked him to sing one of his favorite songs, and turns out it was American Pie.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
Great. After Yoon received a standing ovation, Biden presented Yoon with a signed guitar from Don McLean.
It's amazing. That's a 9-minute song. It must have been up there for a while. It sounded great, though. New parents running on fumes will do anything they can to get a crying baby to calm down. One mom is calming her baby with the help of Lil Jon.
Alexa, play Get Low.
Yeah, just like that. The crying stops in an instant. His mother, 27-year-old Melissa Buckley, gently bounces him to the beat. Buckley says she's listened to the song often during her pregnancy, which might be where Jackson first discovered his infatuation with the early 2000s hip-hop hit.
He's got the beat. Loving, handsome, and friendly. Those are the words used to describe today's pet of the day. Meet Brew. He's a 3-year-old speckled coat, 65-pound pup full of joy. The SPCA of Wake County says Brew loves to be around people. He's good with kids of all ages. To give Brew a loving forever home, reach out to the SPCA of Wake County.
Tonight, football fans have been waiting for in Kansas City. Okay, this is a live look right now. The city hosting this year's NFL draft. Gerald Owens is there, and we will have live reports from the draft and from Charlotte every hour, starting with our news at 4 as we count down to the Panthers' number one pick. They'll be on the clock. We'll see if it is a franchise-altering moment tonight.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Don't forget the umbrella when you head out today.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.